Well, y'all, I am so excited to be back. I have missed being with you guys. It is just the highlight of my week. So I hope you had a good break, but I hope you're even more excited to jump back into 1 Samuel. So for those of you that haven't met yet, my name is Emily Bradbury, and I work here on the Women's Equipping Team at Watermark. And I thought I would just start by telling you a little bit about myself. So I grew up in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I've been in Dallas for about 6.5 years. I'm a total nerd. I love to read, and I love to bake, and I love to watch The Great British Baking Show. And I'm afraid of heights. Okay, really? I'm afraid of falling, but heights are just easier to explain. And I discovered this about myself 6 years ago when my roommates and I went on a hiking trip. And we climbed up and got to a cliff, and we walked towards the edge, and I looked down, and I immediately felt lightheaded, and my stomach dropped, and I had no idea what was going on. Okay, I couldn't find the picture, but there is a picture of the three of us, and in it, it looks like I'm laughing. Really, I'm trying not to cry, because I had no idea what was happening. I had never felt that before. And so I say I discovered this 6 years ago. I think it's always been true about myself. I just didn't have words for it. Because another thing is, I don't like roller coasters. My self-proclaimed role at an amusement park is I will hold your bag and I will take pictures. And I'm great with that. I don't like the feeling of not knowing what's going to happen, of my stomach dropping. I don't know if I'm going to go up, down, sideways. I'm out on that. And so I don't know about you, but I've learned about myself that I highly value steadiness and stability, which is why I don't like the feeling of falling, because when I'm falling, I feel very out of control and I don't know what to expect. And so you may be sitting there wondering, what does this have to do with 1 Samuel? She's just telling us about herself. But when I was thinking about what we learned last semester and what we're going to learn this semester, I just kept thinking about of how this narrative feels like a roller coaster. There's so many ups and downs. I mean, think about what we learned. We started kind of low with Hannah's story, which is her struggle with infertility. But then God answers her prayer and gives us Samuel. And then he calls Samuel, but then we meet Hophni and Phinehas. And then the ark is taken away from Israel, but then it returns. And then there's peace in the land, and Samuel's leading, but then the people demand for a king. But then we meet Saul, and he has success, but then Saul has failures and the rejections. I mean, it was up and down all semester. It kind of felt like a soap opera, where there's just turns here and there, and you never know what to expect. And so in some ways, 1 Samuel can mirror our own lives. We have ups, downs, turns, good moments, bad moments. But if we only look at 1 Samuel from this lens, we're going to miss the point. Yes, there were so many ups and downs in the narrative, but that's not the only part of the story, because there was one steady thing through every chapter, and that was God. God remained the same through it all. His character and his compassion and his love was never compromised. It was never challenged. It never changed. And isn't that what we ultimately want in life? We want stability. We want to be sure. And some of you are probably laughing right now because you know what's true. Life this side of heaven is not always like that. But there's hope because we serve a God who is in control of it all. He brings steadfastness, stability, and surety. That through the ups and downs of life, God remains the same. And so that's what we saw in the first half of 1 Samuel, and it's what we're going to see in the second half as well. So we're going to review what we learned last semester and prepare us for what we will learn this semester. So last semester, we saw that number one, God is steadfast. And we saw this in chapters 1-3. In chapters 4-7, we saw that God is steady. In chapters 8-14, that God is sure. And so my prayer is that as we review the first half of 1 Samuel, that your love and confidence in our God would be renewed and it would empower you in whatever season of life you may find yourself in. That through the ups and downs of life, God remains the same. And if you're sitting there thinking, Emily, this sounds like a lot of what we learned last semester, you would be correct. This is what we're talking about a lot. Because it's true, and it's the most important thing to know, to have a right view of God. So let's first look at how God is steadfast. So remember, the book of 1 Samuel picks up right where Judges ends. And the last verse of Judges 21, verse 25, says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So this was a time of spiritual and moral decay and chaos. I mean, truly, you can imagine if everyone's doing what is right in his or her own eyes, it's going to be chaotic. And so this picture helps us remember what happens in Judges. So the people of Israel went through seven cycles of sin, and their sin led to the consequence of a foreign nation taking them into slavery. The people would then cry out to God in supplication, and God would deliver them. He would provide salvation through a judge or a military or political leader. It would then lead to silence or a period of peace and rest for the people. But then the people would grow restless, and then we would go back to sin, and it was a cycle over and over and over again. And God promised that one day he would send a king. He made this promise back in Deuteronomy. But this king would be a man of his own choosing, whose heart would be fully surrendered to God. Now, if you remember, when we started 1 Samuel, it didn't start with the introduction of this king. It didn't start with his coronation or his military victories, but it started with the birth narrative of the last judge, Samuel. So we met Hannah, a faithful woman who was beloved by her husband, Elkanah. Their family was one of the few faithful people in Israel at this time. And so every year they would go to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, to give the yearly sacrifice. And when they went up to Shiloh, Hannah went before the Lord and she poured out her heart, asking for God to give her a child because she was barren. And she made a vow to the Lord that if God would answer her prayer, she would give her child back to God for his entire life. And God, in his steadfast love, heard Hannah's prayer and gave her a son, Samuel. And Hannah's life probably felt anything but steadfast, but she knew that she served a God who was. She could rely on him and trust him no matter what. She trusted God so much that when God answered her prayer, she was faithful to fulfill the vow to give her son back to God. So when Samuel was weaned, they went to Shiloh. Hannah dedicated Samuel and left him there to be raised as a priest. And you know, God didn't answer Hannah's prayer because she did her actions the right way or she said a prayer the certain way. God answered her prayer out of his goodness. Hannah's knowledge of God's character gave her hope, which is why she was able to leave the tabernacle and her face was no longer sad, as we saw in 1 Samuel 1:18. Knowing, believing, and resting in God's character leads us to trust him. And it doesn't mean this trust is going to lead to happiness all the time or confidence in every moment. I mean, look at Hannah. She was distraught and she was hurt, but she was able to walk through her pain with hope because she knew God's character and that he was steadfast. And it wasn't hope in a specific outcome, but it was a hope of knowing that God was good and that he would see her and answer her prayer by giving her what she needed. And so God was steadfast to this individual family, but God was also steadfast to the people of Israel. Remember, after Hannah's story, we met Eli the priest, his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And if you remember, they are described as wicked men. They were accepting bribes, they were forcing the people to profane the sacrifices, and they were sleeping with the women in the temple. I mean, everything that they did was to serve their own wants and desires. But God, in his steadfast love and compassion, saw the wickedness and corruption, and he removed those leaders from their position. Now, this removal wasn't immediate. It took time, but it did happen. And you know, when I think about Israel at this time, more than likely the people's actions were mirroring the leaders. They were mirroring Hophni and Phinehas. And so if we're being honest, Israel didn't really deserve to have good leaders. But God's love for his people was greater. When the people couldn't love God as they should, God stepped in and he brought in new leadership to make a way for the people to come back to him. God didn't look at the priests or the people and see their wickedness, and he wasn't frightened. He didn't run away. He didn't say, y'all just do what you need to do. I'm done. Now, God's steadfast character, his love and compassion, kept moving forward and towards the people to care for them. And have you seen this in your own life? Have you seen God care for you when maybe you didn't deserve it, or you were in a season where you're just unable to love God? You know, where do you find yourself today? Are you maybe in a great season? Maybe you're in a valley where there are circumstances out of your control that has led you to this valley. Or maybe you're in a valley because of the decisions you have made. No matter where we find ourselves, God remains true to his character. His grace, his unmerited favor, is steadfast. He is steadfast in his care. He's steadfast in his love. He's steadfast to not give up. And he's steadfast to forgive when we come to him. So where in your life do you need to be reminded of God's steadfast character? Maybe you're in the midst of infertility right now. Maybe you just got a job promotion. Maybe there's conflict or aging parents or wayward children or a spouse. Maybe there's been a health victory or maybe a health diagnosis. Wherever you may be, God has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you to the chaos of this world. And even when it looks like he's not at work, know that he is. He is the steadfast anchor that we can cling to and hold on to, no matter what life throws at us, because through the ups and downs of life, God remains the same. So not only is God steadfast, but he's steady. And I know these sound similar, but I'm going to explain it. So in chapters 4-7, things got a little crazy for Israel. Remember, these chapters are known as the Ark narratives, a time when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from Israel and then later returned. And the Ark of the Covenant is a physical representation of God's presence among the people. It was housed in the tabernacle. Remember, it was the tent because they didn't have the temple at this time. And the Ark of the Covenant was holy. And it served as a reminder of God's holiness amidst a broken people. And so when the Philistines came in to attack Israel, the people treated God and the Ark of the Covenant as a good luck charm. They thought, if we just bring the Ark of the Covenant into battle, we don't even have to talk to God. If we do this, he's going to bring us victory. But the people forgot God's character and his holiness. Because you see, God cannot be manipulated or coerced. And because of Israel's sin, God allowed the Philistines to take the Ark of the Covenant back with them to Philistia. Now, this may seem harsh or that God was angry, but I think it shows God's steadiness. Because really, we don't want a God that can be manipulated or a God who can overlook injustice. We want a God who remains the same, who executes justice for all, even if it's against his chosen people. Because that's who God is. Even though the physical representation of God's presence left the nation of Israel, God never left his people. He did this to reveal their sin and to bring them back to him. And I also think God did this to show the Philistines who he is. And if you want a good laugh, I would highly recommend going back and looking at 1 Samuel 5, where we see the Ark of the Covenant being brought into the Philistines' god Dagon, into his temple. It's a good one. So again, this section feels very chaotic, but God remains the same. And when the Ark is brought back, Samuel, their leader, their last judge, brought the people together and called them to repentance and reminded them of God's character. So let's look at 1 Samuel 7:3. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." You see, all God wanted from the people was their heart. His expectations for them didn't change based on what they did or didn't do. His love remained the same. And I hope that's encouraging to you because of that, we are then able to trust him and we are able to rely on his steadfastness in the ups and downs of life. And so this truth of God being steady has been really important to me in this season. There have been a lot of new changes in my life, all good things, but it's just a lot at once. And like I said earlier, I crave stability and steadiness. And so when things kind of feel out of hand, I can run in two directions. I can run towards control, where I become my best PR manager, and I try to handle everything on my own and tell everybody I'm doing fine, because then if I do that, I don't disappoint anybody. I hear how unhealthy that sounds. I hear it. My other side would then be to withdraw, where I just numb out and I don't think about all the things overwhelming me. So I've started this new role as the Women's Equipping Director, and so I'm just trying to figure out my rhythms in the day. How do I get tasks done amongst meetings? How do I care for women well? I also got engaged over the break, so I'm just trying to figure out, oh, thank you, wow. I'm just trying to figure out, how do I even love and care for my future husband? How do we merge our lives together? I'm trying to celebrate other friends as they're getting married. I'm also trying to be a good friend and community member and roommate and daughter and daughter-in-law. And if I'm being honest, my mind is in 20 places at all times. And they're all good things. Please don't hear me complaining or saying, trying to compare what's just a busy season for me for the hurt and pain that I know so many people are experiencing. But what's been helpful for me in this season is to remember that God is steady. So that when my life feels chaotic and busy, when I forget to put on deodorant in the morning because I'm trying to do too many things, it's always the first thing to go for some reason, that God is there. He is steady. He is my dependable leader, guide, counselor, helper, and friend. So it's when I'm frantic, God is just steady through it all. And I can keep going back to him to find peace, to find strength, to find focus, wisdom, encouragement, love, grace, whatever it may be. I know that's true for you too, that no matter where you find yourself in life today, through the ups and downs, God remains the same. So God is steadfast. He is steady. But in the last section, we're going to see how God is sure. So though God brought peace to the land of Israel and a faithful leader in Samuel, the people soon became restless. It's the story of Israel. It's also our story too. So the people began to look around and they saw the other nations and they were tired of God's rule as king. They wanted to have a human king that would look like the nations around them that would go out and fight their battle. So they went to Samuel and they said, "We're done with God being king. Give us a human king to come before us." And if you were like me, about this time, you were probably like, this is it. This is the moment. God's going to be done with them. He's going to say, y'all are too much. I'm done. Bye. But God remained the same. His character was sure. And look at what God told Samuel in chapter 8, verse 7. "And the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." You see, God knew the condition of the people's hearts, but God is a God of love. And out of his love, he allows us to choose if we're going to love him back, because he's not going to force himself on anyone. And so because of that, God gave the people what they asked for, even though Samuel told them, hey, the king is going to take, and he's going to take and take. But God was sure, and his character was the same, and he provided for them. And the people thought that this king is going to bring the surety of peace and prosperity to the land. And so we meet Saul. Saul looked the part on the outside. He was tall, strong, and handsome. But what looks great on the outside does not lead to character and devotion on the inside. Because Saul started out strong as a king. He was devoted to God. God empowered him to go out and fight the battles and bring the people peace. But then Saul started looking around. And his fear of man and trying to secure his position and power began to take over. And so Samuel told Saul to wait 7 days. He said, don't go into battle. Wait 7 days. I'm going to come and I'm going to give the proper sacrifices. And Saul waited a little bit. And then he thought, I can't wait anymore. I'm going to do this myself. And he gave the sacrifices. He wanted to do what he wanted to do over waiting on what God told him to do. His fear of man was greater than the fear of God. And so this one action, God didn't punish him because of this one action. This one action was a larger, part of a larger story of Saul's heart, that he didn't trust God. And so because of Saul's lack of surrender to God, God rejected Saul as king. He said, Saul, you're going to remain in position on the throne, but you're no longer going to be my king. I'm going to raise up a man after my own heart, a man, a king who would lead out of a heart surrendered to me. And so that's where we find ourselves at the beginning of this semester. This human king, according to the people, was going to bring salvation. But instead, he brought hurt, selfishness, and defeat. You see, the people's circumstances at this time might have seemed dire, but God was sure. He was always there. God remained the same. So even when the people would change, when their hearts were swayed by whatever was going on in the world, when they were given into fear, when the king wanted to serve himself over God, God was the one sure thing. And y'all, isn't that good news? Because that's what we want. We want a guarantee that everything's going to be okay. We want that sureness so that when life throws us the ups and downs, that we know we have something to hold on to. And we do. God is that one sure thing. And how do we know that? We see it in 1 Samuel. We see it throughout the scriptures. But most importantly, we see it in the person of Jesus. That though God is going to bring David, who is going to be Israel's greater king, David would fail. He would fail big time. But he would point to the ultimate king who would one day come. As the people were looking for salvation, somebody to make their sin right, there was nothing they could do to make it right. Those sacrifices were nothing to God. Because it was just an animal. There needed to be a human payment, which is why Jesus, God's only son, left heaven and he came to earth. He became a human. He lived a perfect life and he said, I am going to step in their place. Though they deserve to die, I am going to take that punishment. And that's what he did. So that we could come to him in faith and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know that you went to the cross. You died a death you didn't deserve, and you came back to life 3 days later, and there's nothing I can do to make up for my sin. So will you forgive me? Will you become the Lord of my life? And Jesus tells us that through our proclamation of faith in him, we can be forgiven. We are given his spirit. We are given a new life and promised to spend eternity with him one day. We oftentimes look to the things of this world to bring us salvation, just like the Israelites were doing. They will always fail. God is the one sure thing. So that no matter what life throws at you, God is sure. He will never fail. Even if you've been in a season where everything's going smooth and steady, God is sure. Even if you've been in a good season, then all of a sudden the bottom has fallen out and you're sitting there going, God, what are you doing? God is sure. He remains the same. So I want to close by asking you a question. So if you were to describe God in three words, what words would you choose? The words steadfast, steady, and sure are just three of the many words that we could use to describe God. Would you describe him as strong, enough, rock? If that's true of you, I want to encourage you to continue thanking God for who he is and how he's been at work in your life. And going off what we learned on Sunday, I challenge you to share that with somebody, the good news of Jesus and how he's been at work in your life. But maybe you would describe him as angry or hurtful or far away. And if that's you, I want to thank you for being bold enough to admit that. And to those who may be in that position, I want to encourage you to take those feelings to God. They're not going to catch him off guard. He's not going to be angry at you. He wants to hear from you. I want to encourage you to take it to him, lay it out before him, but then I want to challenge you to ask God to show you who his character is, to open up scripture and see how his character was at work. Take an honest look at who he is. You can reread 1 Samuel or really anywhere in the scripture because he remains the same. Then I want you to ask God to remind you of his character and to give you eyes to see ways that his character is at work each and every day, whether it be something in nature, something in your own life, in the scriptures, or maybe through the women in your small group this semester. Because here's what I know to be true about God. When we ask, he hears and he answers, and he will gently and slowly reveal to you his character more and more as we seek him. Okay, so remember, the book of 1 Samuel can easily seem like it's about the people like Saul and Samuel and David. And yes, they are the human focal points of this book, but the book of 1 Samuel is first and foremost about God. It's about his sovereignty and power to bring about the monarchy in Israel, which will make the way for Jesus one day. But also, it's about the way that he was at work in the individual lives of the people in 1 Samuel. So God is the same no matter what. Through the ups and downs of life, God remains the same. So I want to end by just reading 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10, Hannah's song, which is a psalm of praise, to just encourage you of who God is. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to pray, and you guys can go to your small groups. So this is the word of the Lord. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the one sure, steadfast, and steady thing in our lives, Lord. And I pray that you would be the anchor to our souls and we would cling to that no matter what is going on in life. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of the women here today, Lord. Thank you for just getting us here. We know it's probably been a busy morning. And we just want to pray over our time in small group that it would be a time to reconnect, a time to share how you've been at work, to pray for one another, whatever it may be, that you would just be in the midst of it, Lord. And we want to give this semester to you, that it would be a sweet season of diving into your word, learning more about who you are, to build relationships, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, and just leave having met you through your word and having fallen more in love with you. So Lord, we give today and this semester to you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.